first paragraph that I'm look at. When I first read it, I was blown away by this point that it made. I think it's real important. He says, even those who no longer value the material things of the world may still be deceived by psychic powers. Even when you no longer value the material things of the world, even when you feel like you've gotten beyond being caught up in the world, it says that you may still be deceived by psychic powers. As investment has been withdrawn from the world's material gifts, the ego has been seriously threatened. And so we're on page 63 in the teacher's manual. The ego may still be strong enough to rally under this new temptation to win back strength by guile. Many have not seen through the ego's defenses here, although the ego's defenses are not particularly subtle. Yet given a remaining wish to be deceived, deception is made easy. Now the new psychic power is no longer genuine ability and cannot be used dependably. It's almost inevitable that unless the individual changes his mind about the purpose of his new power, he will bolster his power's uncertainties with increasing deception. When the Course says ego, what do you think it's talking about?
Part that believes itself separate.
The lie. The illusion. The mind. Well, the mind, I think that is the mind.
Okay. When you hear the Course say ego.
When the Course says ego, it's the voice the voice that is screaming.
Uh-huh.
It's the screaming voice. Uh-huh. The one that's really yelling to hear. Hear. To be heard.
Yeah. And is this voice a lie, or is this voice the truth from a Course perspective? The ego's false, right? Okay. So would you also agree then that this part of yourself, this old part of yourself, the part that is the phony, the part that does keep us afraid or keep us separate? Do you believe that that part of you is feeling threatened or feels threatened by the truth?
Totally.
Yeah. Okay. So the old self, the fake self, feels threatened by the truth. Okay. The Course says, then as we no longer value the material things of the world, that we still could be deceived by the new powers or talents that we get, because since I'm withdrawing my attachment to the things of the world, so therefore my ego doesn't have as much control over me as it used to, because I'm not ruled by the things of the world the way I used to be. He says then, at that point, your ego will have a new temptation to try to get you attached to the new abilities that you discover that you have as you wake up to the fact that you are a child of God. Okay? So it's like we really do have more power than we realize. We're about to be able to express more talents and more abilities than we've ever realized. And so he says the trick is going to be to take all the new stuff that you start to develop and use that for your misery too. Just like I used to use my car, and I used to use my house, and I used to use my relationships for my ego to keep the separation going. He's saying, then you get some new power and some new ability, and your ego is threatened now, so it needs to get you to get back into some form of fear. So therefore, it will try to use the new abilities and the new talents and potentials you begin to have to somehow or another make you feel afraid. See, he's telling us that it's easy to deceive us if we want to be deceived. It's real easy to fool people who want to be fooled. You know, like for instance, we want to believe there isn't global warming at the level of the physical world. So it's easy to be told that that's not true, and then we go, yeah. You know, if I want to believe you love me when you don't, if I want to believe that you're in love with me when you're not, then it's easy for me to be fooled by you because I want to be deceived. It's what he's saying. He says it's easy to fool people who want to be fooled. And then we need to be aware that as we develop like, these new potentials that we're going to develop, that our ego still may try to trick us and take us into some kind of fear or some kind of separation or use it for something, some kind of guilt. Okay. And then he says, so all we have to do is change our mind about what we want to use our new abilities for. So I'd like to reinforce the idea that any new abilities that I learn how to express, I would like those new abilities to be used for love, mm-hmm. and I'd like those new abilities to be used for awakening. Amen. Okay. So it would be good for yourself if you would claim that for yourself, that as you develop these new abilities and these new powers, that you want them to be used for your happiness and your peace and joy and love. We have to, that's what the Course is saying, you know, that unless we change our mind about its purposes, then we are going to bolster our powers with increasing uncertainty and deception. So when I'm with you all, I always like to take the opportunity, because in most other places I can't talk like this about what we're talking about in the general public, and people get it. So when we're together, to me, it gives us a spectacular opportunity to make it realer than we can at any other time. Okay, yeah.
So basically, the ego is like, it's almost like a false friend.
Yeah.
It's like, it's your friend when the fear and separation is present, it's getting its way in a sense, and then all of a sudden, there's this new ability.
Right.
And it's like, it shifts gears. It's like, oh, okay, I gotta be your friend in this way in mm-hmm. order to get you to buy into the separation of fear. And so we're making a conscious effort.
Right.
To say, right here with this new ability, I'm going for love.
Exactly. And what we forget is we have to start being as conscious and verbal, I feel, about our new direction as we are about our ego stuff. You know, people are very verbal about what they're miserable, unhappy about. What they're angry about, but you'll find that we tend not to be very verbal about loving things. Like you know, we don't say, you know, you don't hear people say, you know, I am loving and I'm lovable, you know, usually. Well, so my point is, but we can. Okay. So it says any ability that anybody develops has the potentiality for good. It says any ability that you develop has the potential for good. There's no exception to this. Any ability that you develop has potential for good. And the more unusual and unexpected the ability, which is the power, he says, the greatest potential usefulness. So the more unusual the new ability that you develop is, and the more unexpected the power is, then the greatest potential usefulness. Then he says salvation, which he claims is nothing but our right-mindedness, our healing, okay? He says our healing has need of all abilities. I like that. My healing needs all of my abilities. I want all of my abilities to be directed toward my healing. I want all of my abilities to be directed toward my healing. I want all of my abilities to be directed toward my healing. Now, when I say these things, you all are always welcome to join in or say it on your own loud or soft. But what I'm going to do is I go through the course. I'm going to do what it says because I realize that I'm more likely to do it here than anywhere else. So he says, because everything that the world would destroy, he says, the Holy Spirit would restore. So let's hear that correctly. Anything that my ego would destroy, my Holy Spirit will restore. So he just said, God will restore anything that our ego destroys. That's beautiful.
Yes.
God will restore. Love will restore anything that your fear destroys. My love will restore, let my love restore anything my fear would destroy in my life. Let love replace and restore anything my ego would destroy. Because I feel if I'm really getting this, then my ego is going to become more threatened, and I need to be more aware than I used to be. So not less aware. We need to become more aware than we used to be.
Those psychic powers or whatever they are, really, if misused, just become more stuff of the world. It's just a little finer-tuned car in
a
way.
Yeah,
it's just
yeah.
more. It's more of the same.
It's more of the same
if
thing.
If you're using it, if you're not plugged into to letting spirit guide you.
It's thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Okay. That's right. That's right.
And so the intention is to do this right now.
But we've got, in other words, the present is the point of power, and the only point that we can change anything is now. And one of the biggest mistakes we make is one of the biggest mistakes I make. One of the biggest mistakes that I make is I don't take advantage of now. If I could boil all of my mistakes down to one mistake, I don't take full advantage of what's available to me now, what I can do right here, right now. And so I'm going in that direction. We're on page 63 in the teacher's manual.
And so consciousness is aligning with the Holy Spirit in this now. That's taking advantage of the now.
That's taking advantage of the now. Take advantage of the now is exactly what you said. To me, it's the same as no matter what I learned in the past, I can start applying what I am learning now. Now.
Now.
And now. There's no end to the now, you know. Every now and then, the Holy Spirit gives me new ways to study and read the Course. After 27 years, he has to. I'll go crazy. So, this morning, he started me on a whole other curriculum in terms of the way I'm gonna do the workbook and the way I'm gonna put it on. I'm going to record it because I always record stuff so I can listen to myself, tell myself the truth all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't leave that to chance. You know, I always got an iPod or a CD player or something going in the background with me telling myself the truth. And then I call my name out. Like if I'm reading, I go, Earl, a psychic power is desirable for you, Earl. Mm-hmm. Well, the answer to this question, Earl, is just like, double Earl, Earl. Mm-hmm. And so when I listen, I've done the whole course like that. So whenever I'm, so it's always reminding me all during the day when I'm going about the stuff that I'm doing. And even at night, I have it on auto reverse because I realize that this really is about my consciousness being full of these ideas and then giving me that peaceful experience. Then I've got to fill my mind with ideas that I want to see manifest. Because if I don't, I'll let quote unquote, the world program me. And that's what I realized that was happening. Like when I go to the movie, when I watch TV, when I listen to the radio, when I have conversations, I realize that this is sort of like a relationship between the hypnotist and the subject. And anybody that's got your undivided attention, you in the role of the hypnotist. And they're the role of the subject, you know. So we got all these things coming at us all day long, telling us who we are, what we should believe, what we should want, who we really are. And so we are hypnotized. And so the way to get out of hypnosis is to learn the new ways of looking at things. And so what he's doing is he's guiding us out of here. That's what he's doing. He's saying, okay, y'all doing pretty good and not paying attention to the ego like y'all used to. I give y'all credit. You know, you're not as caught up in the world as you used to be. You see through the illusion more than you used to. Great. Now let me tell you what's going to happen next. The next thing that's going to happen is you're going to start developing powers and abilities that's going to freak your butt out. You're going to start to notice talents and potentials and powers in yourself that's going to freak you out. Your ego has been threatened by all of this truth that you've learned, and it would love to take the new powers and abilities that you develop right now and use that to take you right back into fear again. That's what he's telling us. Did y'all hear it? Okay. And then he says, but just when you get ready to get scared, spirit always turns around and says, but anything that your ego would destroy, I will restore. And see, and then my ego wants to just tip over that sentence. You know, it doesn't really want to take a minute to go. He just told me that the salvation is needed of all the abilities for what the world would destroy. The world's the ego. For what the world would destroy, the Holy Spirit will restore. So psychic abilities have been used to call upon the devil. And then he says, what I mean by the devil is that psychic abilities have been used just to strengthen the ego, just strengthen the fear in the past. He says, yet here is another great channel of hope and healing in the Holy Spirit's service. The fact that, and what, remember he said in the first part of that section that when he says psychic powers, all he's talking about is taking limits off of your ability to communicate. And which I thought was really interesting, that he says you're really just becoming more natural. Mm-hmm. It actually should be normal for us to be able to communicate with each other without having to speak or use words because our minds are joined. And so he says as we become more natural, we're going to think we're becoming more special. Uh-huh. But all you're really doing is getting back to the way you used to be before you got screwed up. Mm-hmm. And we call it the path of enlightenment. Yeah.
This is so interesting because I think I'm doing this in my work. I am a hypnotist.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so it's so clear I'll use the word channeling.
Uh-huh,
whatever.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And the challenge isn't so much that the ego is stepping in. The challenge is that you're saying things and you have to just trust that whatever I say to you. And usually, of course, it does make sense. And people will say, oh, my God, that's what I was thinking.
Uh-huh.
They'll say to me, that's exactly right.
Uh-huh.
They say it to me so much.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly right.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
But the challenge I'm finding is that sometimes I'm like, oh, maybe you don't see the results, or maybe they don't come back, or maybe I was going off on a tangent and
mm-hmm.
I was talking
mm-hmm.
about me, and do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where I really step back into just trust that your intentions were good.
That's right.
And so that's kind of a challenge too, and I have to keep stepping back into it, like it's just let God speak through you. But when I think when you talk about it kind of bouncing back to the ego,
mm-hmm.
I know it's happened. I believe it's happened for other people. And I think, why has it made you more afraid?
Right.
Like what I was telling you, like about my friend, where now there's demons.
Uh-huh.
There's demons and there's monsters and there's entities, and there almost seems to be more fear because he thinks he's more aware.
Right. No, I used to just be afraid of what I physically saw. Now I'm afraid of what I can't even see. So now you really helped me out a lot. You know, when I didn't believe in ghosts, at least I didn't have to be afraid of them. Now you're telling me they exist. Now I got to deal with that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's what we don't realize. It's like, if you were to really get that, let's say, let's just pretend that we really, really, really are something that doesn't die. Let's just play with those ideas, okay? And then if that's true, that means nobody that I know has died. And if that's true, that means they still exist. And if they still exist, then that means everything is totally opposite to what I've been taught. That opens up a whole nother level of everything. To think that there are beings that are alive that you can't see. Okay, and that's what he's saying. Now, you can either take that thought and use it the way I like to use it, which is to go, man, that means I'm not alone and I have a lot of invisible help. That's the way I go for it. That means I got some invisible help. Or you can go, there are entities and psychic beings that want to suck you psychically and, you know, all that other stuff that people say. You know, and that's what the Course is always saying to us, that no matter what the situation, you always got the choice of either looking at it in a way that gives yourself some kind of peace, or you can look at it some kind of way that really makes you feel afraid. And so he's saying to us, but so that you all won't be afraid, remember now, even if you screw up, I can restore you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get rid of it. I'm making you aware of this, but I'm not saying it from the perspective that you could possibly lose or you could possibly not be safe, and which is a very important little ingredient to stick in there. Okay, if not, you're right back to where you were at the beginning, thinking that you've got to take care of yourself by yourself, and if you don't do it perfectly, you're screwed. And see, that's the first belief that we came from in the first place. So Spirit is telling us, in order to go to the next level, I'm going to inject this idea, and this idea has to be the foundation of your entire spiritual learning, which is, he calls it the rock of salvation, which is, you cannot lose. See, so he said that when you get through with all your figuring, all your worrying, if you can manage to come back to the idea that you cannot lose, you'll always land on your feet. Okay, so he says, I love it. He really, listen to this. He says, those who have developed psychic powers have simply let some of the limitations they laid upon their minds be lifted. So to develop a psychic power just requires for you to take some of the limitations off your own thinking.
Wow. Can I share a little?
Yeah.
So I've noticed over the last few weeks that when I'm driving in traffic, that I'll have an idea, you know, half a mile up there somebody's going to pull out in front of me, so change lanes. And I will. And sure enough.
You can feel it. You can feel it. That happens a lot. Go ahead.
But now here's the deal. So what then I caught myself doing is going, oh, look what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now I can even go faster.
That's a classic example. That's the perfect example of what we're talking about.
Rather than, oh, Spirit's going to help me be safer on the road for everybody.
Oh, I need to slow my butt down. That is so good. To hear you all communicate and to hear what you're thinking is so, feels so good to my soul. To know that this is the way you all think.
Another piece for me is this whole idea of programming.
Mm-hmm.
A couple months ago you said, if you pay attention to TV at night, you said right after dinner until you go to bed, so I tested you.
Mm-hmm.
You said, you get all these commercials on sickness and medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
And I'll be damned. Right up until the news hour, it's cars and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then they give you like 2 minutes. Of what the crap will do to you.
It'll fix one thing, but it'll mess up about 20. Yeah. And they always do it really soft. But when they tell them, you got to have C. Alice. If you don't have C. Alice, you're not going to live, you know. But it causes cancer, heart disease. And it's like, you know.
Right hand.
Yeah.
And the other thing I want to share is my older brother wrote an article.
That's great.
About... They interviewed some attractive women, and they found out that all women is what they're postulating.
Of course.
You know, they can feel, after about 14 seconds, they can feel when you're staring at them, even if you're not in front of them.
Wow. That's deep. What about, can y'all feel somebody, can y'all feel guys looking at you? Or somebody looking at you?
I think we all feel that. Okay. Depends on the person looking at you.
I'm just saying, we all have that. That's one of those powers.
Yeah.
That's natural to us.
Yeah.
But most of us, we don't get that enough. We aren't sensitive enough to pick up when someone else is looking at us, even though they're not, or across the room.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make a sense? Mm-hmm. They're even studying that.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
Right.
So now we know the secret to developing an ability. The secret to developing an ability is just letting some of your limited thinking go. Okay? Yeah. Okay? Then it says, it can be but further limitations that you lay upon yourself if you utilize your increased freedom. Now notice he describes psychic powers and new abilities as what? Increase freedom. I think that's a great way to say that. You know, it's like if you really have a new ability, it should have increased your freedom. If you really discover any kind of a new ability, you can tell if it's a true ability and if you're using it correctly, because if you're using an ability correctly, it makes you feel like your freedom is increasing. If you don't feel like your freedom is increasing, then you're not using your abilities correctly. That's deep. That's heavy duty, you know. So a psychic power is nothing but increased freedom. He says, but it can be further limitations that you lay upon yourself if you utilize this increased freedom for what? Greater imprisonment, which is what you was just talking about. Your ego was saying, well, now you can speed faster. See, that's trying to lead you into greater imprisonment. Instead of using that psychic sense to let, okay, just need to be more aware. I need to bag down. You know, it's like the same thing. Like you take astrology, for instance. I've done astrology and numerology for 30 years, and sometimes that's baffling to people if they study the course. They think, I've studied the course, how can you do astrology? And I say, well, you know, if you're studying the course, how can you be a secretary? And that's what I say. You know, it's like as if that's somehow different, you know. But anyway, So what's really a trip is that what happens with a new ability is that it'll work, but you don't have any, sometimes you don't have any idea why it works. Like, I'd be the first one to say, I don't know why in the world astrology works. It doesn't make any sense. You know, you give me a birth time, I do some math. I don't even do the calculations anymore. Back in the old days, I had to do the math. Now with a computer, bam, it's done right there in front of you in 30 seconds. You're looking at the chart. The point that I'm making is that the reason why I've done this for 30 years is because I've seen it work over and over and over and over and over and over. You know, everybody else might go, I don't believe that stuff, da 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 da. I watch it work over and 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 over. And almost everybody that I will share the characteristics of their personality based on their chart, 95% of the people always go, yeah, that sounds just like me. But it's very similar to me. Now, this is 30 years in, right? So my point is that once I understood that from the course, that the purpose of that ability was to help everybody wake up and to extend love, you know what I'm saying? Then that was the proper use of that ability, and that ability freed me because I didn't use it. I didn't try to use that ability to manipulate people into doing whatever I wanted them to do because I recognized what their personality trait tendencies were like. I always had this gut feeling that I knew if I manipulated someone else, I'd be manipulating myself. And also, if I manipulated someone else, that would be reinforcing the idea that we're separate, because you can only manipulate somebody that you don't think is connected to you in the first place, right? So that's another example. That what I'm saying is that what it really does is establish a way of communicating that's different from what the world teaches. And so when you're looking at a chart, it's merely just another way to receive communication through Holy Spirit. And the Course is saying that's what everything is. Every ability you have is just another way for you to be in communication with God.
And there's nothing to fear.
And that's why he tells us there's nothing to fear. But he says that you believe that there's nothing to fear in direct ratio to how much you're dependent on God. If you're not dependent on God, which you can call a higher power, if you're not dependent on God, he says, then you know you're not because you're afraid. Mm-hmm. And if you are truly dependent on you, of something greater than yourself, then he says that you don't have any fear. And so...
I guess that's where I get confused, because I see people mm-hmm. talking or doing things or having gifts. Mm-hmm. And some of them are okay with it, but more of them seem to be more fearful.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but that's what he was saying. The fear comes from them not dedicating the power to Holy Spirit, consciousness. Look, I doubt very seriously if they're consciously complete. But first of all, the sense of responsibility that they get for the people that they're for the ability lets you know they're in their ego. Because the first thing that would happen if you had a new ability and you really had given it up to the Holy Spirit, then you know that the Holy Spirit would therefore be using that ability and was no longer your personal responsibility. What happened as a result of that ability coming through you? Whether somebody was happy about it, you'd be okay about it. If they was afraid, you'd be okay about it. If they felt peace, you'd be okay about it. Because it's not you that's doing it anymore. It's you giving it up to your higher self, and you're being in the moment, and you're letting that ability express as best you can from as loving a space as you can. And at that point, you have to wash your hands of the responsibility of what happens after you give it away. You're not responsible for everybody's reaction around you to your expression of your ability. So that's because I gave it up. Because I gave it up. So he says that the Holy Spirit needs these gifts. Notice he calls them what? Increased freedom, gifts, psychic powers, abilities, and communication. Those are the terms that Jesus uses to describe psychic abilities, which I think is interesting. Increased communication, increased freedom, increased power, increased abilities. He says, and those who offer these abilities to the Holy Spirit. Now, okay, who is the Holy Spirit? Like at the beginning, I ask, who is the ego? Now I'm going to throw it out to the group, each one of you. Tell me, when I say Holy Spirit, what do you think that means?
You know, I would like to hear from you and from others. I can tell you what I read,
mm-hmm.
and that is that it is something within all of us, but that is aware of the ego and of God at the same time, and I understand it as some kind of connection or road back.
Great. Okay, thank you. When you hear Holy Spirit, what is your idea of Holy Spirit?
It's the part of me that really loves me and wants to help me remember.
Okay.
Who I truly am.
Okay. Okay.
I think of it as the voice of God.
Okay. Okay, and there are no wrong answers. I just want to know, when I say Holy Spirit, what goes through your mind? What do you think that means?
That's the part of me that connects me to God and therefore to everybody else. That's the part of me that is love and perfect and that I don't have to feel bad about.
I love it when you talk dirty. Okay, when you think
more of that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'd rather hear that than what all of them said. I'd rather hear that than a 900 number now. I'd rather somebody call me on the phone and say, "You're totally innocent."
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's sexy.
Yeah, it's like now it's like, all right, good. When you hear Holy Spirit, what does that mean?
Compassionate presence with the voice.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a voice when we're here to hear it,
mm-hmm.
when we're present to hear it, and when we're not present to hear it, it's still there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just always here. It's always here.
Yeah.
It's always here.
Yeah.
And it's in everything and everybody, and I mean, it's enormous.
Yeah. I love it. Sister?
I see it as my true self, which is God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome.
That's good.
In my Catholic days, I used to be confused. So I'm really happy for the course. The Holy Spirit was confusing to me. The
mm-hmm.
whole
mm-hmm.
trendy business. Remember what we did? And so the idea that in this moment of insanity where I thought I separated from God,
mm-hmm.
God is so much love that it knew if I let this happen, it's going to scare the shit out of himself.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent this voice,
mm-hmm.
this connection to him,
mm-hmm.
so that it can get really scary, but not totally scary,
mm-hmm.
if you get quiet and listen.
So. Mm. Wow. Okay, great. That's the y'all. You all are so awake.
Okay. So, maybe this doesn't make sense, or maybe you guys can explain this to me. So, okay, that being said, like Abraham Hicks, for example, ask and it is given.
Mm-hmm.
So she's Esther is communicating with Abraham as this group of entities,
mm-hmm.
and I guess it just happened. I don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I read the book. But so maybe you could call that a gift,
mm-hmm.
or a psychic
mm-hmm.
ability.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm gonna get confused: is that real, or is that her own mind that's projecting? You know, creating her world, or maybe she wanted to do, like I don't. Do you know what I mean?
The thing that comes to mind for me when questions like that come up is that the form doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is the content and the intent. So what I would ask myself about her would be more, what is she saying? And so the Course teaches us how to recognize when we're hearing the voice of truth. So the ones I, no matter what the form is or the appearance that they're doing their thing through, I know enough from the Course that if I heard Abraham or if I heard her speak, I would know whether or not what was coming through was the truth for me or not the truth for me. You see what I'm saying?
Mm.
And so that's how that I've learned through the Course to have that relationship with what appears to be other things. Is that its whole purpose is to teach us. Like you said, either she would be using that ability to limit herself or she'd be using that ability to free herself. But we're going to have the scenario that we personally need to bring us to that awakening.
Mm-hmm.
For her, she might have needed a group of entities and all of that. You see what I'm saying? It's like
made it up.
What I'm saying is that doesn't matter.
Right.
Whether or not it really happened doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is the truth or falsity of what's being said. So if I know the truth or what I know to be the truth for me, then I can listen to her regardless of whether or not she made that up and tell whether or not she's being used to be a means for the truth to come through.
Just like Gary Renard.
Yeah.
That's the same thing.
Yeah. He said that, you know, that some teachers showed up in his living room. Now, the Course in Miracles says that in there, that we have invisible teachers, and they will appear before us when that appearance wouldn't frighten us. Mm-hmm. And that the only reason why our invisible guys do not physically sit down in the chair is that it would make us doubt our right mind. We would think we were going out of our mind. And he said, but I don't want to make you think you're going crazy when it's your own mind that's got to save you. So if I did something to make you not trust in your own mind, I would really be taking you further away from the truth and toward it. So if I did something really incredible, like make a purple elephant appear in this room, that wouldn't actually make us feel more peace. It would make us feel fear, and that at the point that it would not make us feel fear, and this is very important, at the point it would not make us feel fear, then it'll happen, but it'll happen just to take us further into the truth. It would happen and we go, oh, that proves that there's something beside what I was taught. Oh, see, that proves that. You see what I'm saying? We'd be glad. We'd go, oh, okay, that's the proof we had the power to create. So at the point that we would look at it that way, he says we'll have more unexpected things happen. That's what he was telling. That's what he's trying to, that's what this whole thing is about. It's like, yeah, it's going to be some unexpected abilities you're going to see happen. But you want to make sure you don't give those abilities to your fear. Because then you're just limiting yourself more than ever before. So you need to stop and remind yourself that you want to give this ability to the Holy Spirit, which is the part of you that's connected to God and knows the truth, your true self. You know, like when I read Holy Spirit now in the Course, I always substitute now, and it changes from year to year, but now I substitute, you know, my real self. You know, but in the beginning, I didn't want to say my real self because I didn't have any faith in my real self, and I thought my real self was guilty and fearful. So when I would read books that would tell me to go to myself, those books wouldn't comfort me. They would make me feel like it was, oh, the last person I want to depend on right now is myself. You know what I'm saying? So as you wake up to who you are spiritually, you go back and forth between being able to say it's your real self and feeling power from that, or having to say it's God because you know right now you're doubting in yourself. And either one of those will save you. It's like if I'm in fear and I'm doubting myself, it's Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, God, God, God. If I'm aware of my connection to Spirit, this is my real self. I'm coming out of my real self. And so the Holy Spirit, so when it says to your real, just like I said, your real self needs these gifts. See the difference? Your real self needs these gifts. And those who offer their gifts to their real self and their real self alone go with their real self's gratitude upon their hearts and their real self's healing sight not far behind. See the difference that made? It's like, and what the Course is doing is trying to get us to understand that our real self is not the ego, which is what we have identified with in the past, but our real self is the Holy Spirit, the part of us that is that infinite love. But I thought the ego was me. When I first read the Course, everything it said about the separation, the fear, the competition, the specialness, all that stuff sounded exactly like me. So I knew I was identified with my ego.
Yeah.
And right. And if you do this correctly, just like we used to be identified with our ego, we're going to be identified with the part of us that's not our ego. And the idea that we could be afraid or guilty or alone or in competition or, you know, not powerful, it would be as foreign a concept to our idea of ourselves as that we used to think we could be weak. And so the Holy Spirit is the part of us that's taken us from that old perception to that new perception. And since we're sitting up here taking limitations off our thinking, which we'd have to be doing to even have this friggin' class, okay, then it's obvious that we must be developing abilities that we don't know we have. And he's trying to let us know, you know, or she or it or whatever you want to use is trying to let us know that we're about to develop unusual abilities that can increase our freedom and not to screw up. That's what the message for today was.
But even if we screw up, it's okay because God will fix it.
That's right. That's right. You're the loving part of you. You're real. So that's what we call landing on our feet. Now, the first part that I shared, you were still flipping. Okay? And then you shared, and back to that thought of we cannot lose. Blah! Then no matter what the twirl, what the flip, or you up in the hurricane, you wouldn't care if you came down on the ground and you went blah. And then you said, you know, you wouldn't care. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I cannot lose. He says that's what that thought that you cannot lose creates for you. It creates for you a solid, stable place that you can always land, that you can always depend on. But we have to start supporting the idea in each other that no matter how much we are afraid, no matter what mistakes we make, no matter how we see things sometimes it's not correct, we will still be loved, we will still be helped, we will still be healed. That's what we're supposed to reinforce in each other and for each other as each other's saviors. I know you feel bad, I know you feel afraid, I know you feel depressed, I know you feel angry, but everything's going to be all right. You go full circle, come right back to those little simple statements that your parents and uncles and aunts said when you were kids and you didn't even understand why they were saying it. It's a trip.
You know, I find if I start my day with that, I'm here only to be truthful, truly helpful, and say the whole thing at the start of the day, my day is much more gentle, and it reminds me every day that no matter what happens, it's okay.
That's right.
Yeah. You know?
That's right.
And I will be healed if I let him teach me to heal.
And I will be healed as I let him. I will be healed as I. And then either. And
I'm
then
content he, to be where
he. If he wishes me to be. And then let's take the word healing. From A Course in Miracles perspective, he says to heal just simply means to undo fear. See, I've been taught to think that healing was I cut my hand and then my hand, the flesh healed, which is one form of healing. But healing from this perspective is every time you let go of a fear, you experience more love.
You know what's interesting about the cut? Little children, when they cut their hand, it's like healing is undoing the fear. So don't be afraid that this cut, you know, it's like all of a sudden you got this cut from falling on your bike. Don't be afraid of the cut.
And it's like everything's gonna be all right.
Exactly.
That's the message that you're getting all the time you've been here. It's gonna be okay, it's gonna be okay, it's gonna be all right, it's gonna be all right. And so we're getting that same message at another level.
Right.
This is another cut. My whole life is a cut.
Cut.
My mama used to say, before she spanked it sometimes, she said, hey boy, you've been cutting up. So, you know, that was the term back in the day. Yeah, you've been cutting up, you know. And so you're going to be all right, you know. And that's where I want to stop and do the love offering and then do a quick review. But that's the only absolute message. We're going to be all right.
And you're
going to feel so proud and so honored to know you all. Let me pass this around. Because you show me that I'm not alone, and in a physical way, you become physical witnesses, you know, to the truth. I have a very strong invisible connection with the other side, but it's great to experience that same connection on the physical side.
It'd be interesting to hear some of your stories of 27 years of, you know, watching people change or transform.
People wouldn't even believe it. It would sound like it would sound like a fantasy. It really would. The thing, because as you become more unafraid, like I said, then the invisible makes itself visible. Well, because he says in the book, he said, well, how do you become aware of something you can't see? And then the course says, well, you become aware of something you can't see by its results and its effects. So I'm going to show you I'm there by what you see me do. And I went, whoa, that's a great way to let me know what I can't see is there. Like if I have prosperity thoughts, they're not physical, I can't see them. But if I find myself seeing abundance all around me, that lets me know I must have something that invisible that I don't see that's creating this. You know what I'm saying? So it's by the results that he said you'll know that I exist. And as you are not afraid, then what happens is that the invisible starts to reveal to you that it's a dream, but in a way that you'll keep your sanity. So I was rushing one day, for example, to get here for class, and going fairly fast because I was trying to make that light up there and get here in time. But it was green. I had the green light. And this lady walked out in front of, just totally walked against the light, and she just walked out. and my car hit her. And she spun around, she went up in the air, and she came down on the street. And I screeched to a stop, and I just started immediately saying, this whole instant when I give to you, be you in charge, for I will follow you, certain that your direction gives me peace. This whole instant, because that's the advantage of learning these little prayers, is that you kick into that mode. So I'm looking in the rearview mirror. She jumps up off of the street, off the ground. She runs around in a circle, and then she jogs down the street out of sight. And people that were standing on the corner went, because they saw her get hit by a car going 35 miles an hour. Now, that actually happened. But there are people who would say that didn't happen. You understand what I'm saying? It's like you were saying about, you know, Hicks or whatever. You know, it's like that when it really starts to reveal itself, then you'll always be saying stuff that people think is impossible to happen. That's what makes it the thing that's not our ordinary reality. But it also explains why you experienced it and they didn't. Because what they're saying to you is that they would be frightened in a situation like that. And so that kind of thing wouldn't happen to them until they could welcome it in someone else, because it's only when you can welcome it in someone else that you know you're not truly not afraid of it in yourself.
So then the people that buy the Hicks books or buy these they're beginning to be able to accept it in themselves.
They're being able to accept it in themselves, and because they can accept it in themselves, they don't doubt her ability to do it. Because at some level they believe that they can do it too. You know, so that's what I love about this book. It's like it gives you perceptions that allows you to see things clearly in such a way that you can keep your peace more about what's going on.
You know what's so interesting is that we came from a seed that was a seed of someone's seed that was a seed of someone's seed. So on some level, there has to be that invisible presence. It has to be. Because where else could we have manifested us as we are here without the presence of that?
And to add to what you were saying, one of the things that endeared me to the course was there was a lot of little statements to say. If you've been reading it, you know it's like that. All of a sudden it just said a statement and it just blows you away. And he said, remember, you did not create yourself. Yeah. Just a little sentence like that will swoop me right back, because I realized that I believe I created myself, or that somehow I showed up anonymously. And that's what the Course is saying, you know. You didn't just show up, you know what I'm saying? And you didn't show up without a plan, you know, but you got here and you made up your own plan. And now you define happiness as whether or not your wrong plan gets supported. And nothing's supporting your plan because it's not the right plan. That's why you got to do it by yourself. And you always do things by yourself that's not real. So if you're struggling, it's just something that you're trying to do that's not real. It's something you're trying to do on your own by yourself. It's like hello, and then you hear stuff like that, and it's so simple, but it reverberates. It makes everything make sense.
Well, help me with this though. My inheritance is the name of God is my inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
What is the name of God?
Well, the easiest way you can look at that would be God.
God is the name of God.
It's God.
Mm-hmm. It's the name we use. For God is God. I mean, we could make it deeper than that, but it's almost like you were my son and you were saying, the name of Purdy is my inheritance. What do you mean by that? You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's like, you are my son, so you inherit my name. And so,
was worth the drive.
You see what I'm saying? So you're going to inherit the name of God. Whatever that one power, that one presence is, that's what you are a creation of. So that's also your name, whatever that is. The name of God is your inheritance. Or you can say the name of love is your inheritance, right? Because he keeps telling us we are love. So he's saying the name of love. One day you're going to know yourself as love. And it's not going to be any fear in you whatsoever. You know, the name of God is your inheritance. That's why I love questions, because hell, I've been studying this stuff for 27 years. I wish somebody asked me something. You know what I'm saying? It's like, my God, you know, what was the point? You know, if I can't save people some time.
And the other thing on content versus form, mm-hmm. you know, we're in the Unity Temple,
mm-hmm.
and I read this thing by Myrtle Fillmore,
mm-hmm.
when she was in the health challenge,
mm-hmm.
and what she used to say was, there is only God. All else is lies, including these symptoms. There's only God. All else is lies.
And then of course, then what you do when you then anything you do physically just becomes a symbol of your willingness to be healed, and that way you don't get in conflict with, should I take the medicine?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so the course covers that. You know, said, well, just look at it like anything you do at a physical level is nothing but a symbol of your willingness to have whatever that thing is. It's not making anything happen.
It's all working together.
It's just you showing you're willing to have it. I went, whoa. And you don't even have to do that. But if you think you do, then go ahead. But do it with that attitude that is symbolic of your willingness. But the truth is, you need do nothing but find a place within you where the activities of this craft cease to demand your attention, and remember who you are, and then everything that you need will be instantly provided, because there's no such thing as you having a need that's not going to be met. But you said you want to pretend you don't deserve it, then yeah, this is what you need to do in the physical world. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just you not loving yourself, so you have to make up stuff for you to do, because you don't know you're all right. You know, so then if I have a talent, I'd just be expressing it for the joy of it. It's not that I still wouldn't play music if I like music or do what I do. It's like all of a sudden I've taken all the pressure off. Like when I played saxophone and I wanted to be a famous saxophonist and I was a studio musician and I did all that stuff, that was a lot of pressure, because it was all tied up with power, money, fame, and physical pleasure. Now, after 30 years, you know, I'm on it again and doing music and, you know, taking lessons and getting back up on stuff, and it's a sheer ecstasy, because I could care less whether anybody like it, I could care less what anybody hear, whether I become fat. None of that's attached to it. So now if I hit a wrong note or whatever, I don't care. I'm doing it out of sheer joy and pleasure and a desire to express myself. And so people say, well, it's like you won't be doing anything if you really get this. No, it's just the opposite. You'll be more creative and more expressive than you've ever been in your life, and you will enjoy it a lot more, because you're not tying anything about your self-esteem or your security to it. You know, I'll be a greater teacher as I begin to recognize more and more that I don't need money to survive.
Oh, no question. I mean, look at—I think about Osho and some of those guys in India. They have no grip. They're expressing their abilities, and so money becomes less of an issue. And then some of the things they say out of their mouth, I'm like, but they're free. They're liberated. They've lifted.
Let the limitations be lifted from their mind.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm doing, and that's what you're doing. But at the same time, there should be no guilt about what you think you need to do at a physical level in order for you to be okay. So I don't have any guilt about saying, asking for what I ask for what I do, or the way that I do it, because he's already told me in the question of payment. I mean, he has a section that he deals with that in two of the pamphlets that was channeled, and one of them is called The Question of Payment, and it deals with the whole issue of money and healing and service. And he says, for example, two kinds of people that's going to come into your life. He said, while you're here, you need stuff. Okay? And this is the course. And he says, but there's going to be two kinds of people that's going to come into your experience. One kind, and it could be the same person depending on the time. Okay? But one is going to come to teach you how much you need forgiveness, how much you need to see things correctly, how much you need to remember when you did the same things yourself, and bless that. So some people are going to come, and for whatever reason, they're not going to give. And that's your opportunity to forgive and to see things correctly. And then he said, then it says there's going to be another group of people that's going to come to you. And the purpose of these people who come to you are to give you the money that you need to stay and continue to do what you're doing. So no matter what you're doing, then you're going to have times it's going to look like you're not receiving, but those will be the times that you're learning how to forgive and see things correctly. And then there will be times when you're given to, and so you're never, so nobody's ever, there's not any paying going on at all. He says there's no such thing as paying. He says the only thing that's really happening is giving. And that if you decide that you're going to be used for awakening, if you decide you're going to be used for union, if you decide you're going to be used for peace, then you will be given what you need. He says, and I'll continue to give it to you in an obvious way unless you are using what I'm giving you to take you further into unconsciousness and fear. So if you're receiving a lot of abundance and all of a sudden it's not about your awakening anymore, you're not giving it to me anymore, it's all about you now, then that means you're going to take that gift and you're going to start limiting yourself through it. And so the thing that I gave you to free you, you're going to use it to imprison yourself if you don't use it for love. The advantage of that is that if you're not going to be loving, in a sense, you need to be limited in what you can do.
Wow.
So it's a fail-safe system. If I'm not going to love you, then the power that I've been given needs to be used to prevent me from hurting you. So I end up being limited by the thing I'm going to use for fear, which really is good for everybody around me, because now I don't have any ability to hurt you with my own ability because I'm using it against myself.
Like picking up a hot stone and
In order to do that, I'm gonna have to hold the hot stone for a while.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. So that's how you can, you know. So as we develop these new abilities, as you begin to realize more about your power, as you begin to love yourself more, you're gonna be tempted to use the abilities and new talents and awarenesses that you achieve just to be special and to show off. Okay, and to do that would be to just limit yourself. So what you want to do is you want to use your new abilities for freedom and for joy and for healing for all of us. You want to go, I want this to be used to benefit, you know, this talent I have, I want it to be used to benefit everybody. Like when I go hear my favorite band, I'm watching those musicians sometimes so joyfully playing, and they're doing what they love, and they're healing everyone that's in the audience that appreciates them. Everyone is listening to their music and feeling better because of the beauty of their music is being healed. So here they are playing their instrument, doing something they love at a personal level, but it's bringing joy to everybody. So that makes the talent a real gift. It makes it that won't, so it won't free, it'll free him. What's going to happen? Well, on a physical level, more people will come here and play and financially support what he's doing, which gives him increased freedom to continue to do what he wants to do more. You see what I mean? That's what I said. When you are surrounded by people that appreciate you, the only thing that happens is that you become freer as a result of being around them. And when you appreciate somebody, they just become freer as a result of being around you. When I teach and I feel really appreciated by the class, all it makes me want to do is to do more, give more, be more real, be more powerful, be more loving. Appreciation just increases every single thing that you receive. And I've heard that a million times, but it's another thing to get to the point you actually have awakened enough to see that that's physically true. That the only thing that could be missing from my life is what I'm not giving, even if I say I am. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're getting ready to go out into the lab. And we'll get a chance to see how loving we can be again. And don't forget, you can't lose, even if you act like you just really have lost your mind sometime today. You're still just a call for love. You know, that's all you're doing. You're just calling for love. Just calling for love. And just remember me. All right? Tomorrow night at 7, the next call.